Grace to you and peace from God who dwells with us, not only to wipe away every tear from our eyes, but indeed to weep with us. Amen. I am a rock, I am an island. So go the mournful lyrics of the old Simon and Garfunkel tune. Because a rock feels no pain and an island never cries. Brothers, sisters, friends in Christ, on this All Saints Sunday, when our weekly gathering of worship and meal also includes remembrances of family and friends, saints of old, perhaps you are bracing yourself, even hoping for feelings like these, that you might feel more like an inanimate object that has no need of feelings, a rock that feels no pain, an island that never cries. Perhaps it has been for you, like many, quite a week, or quite a couple of months, or even quite a year. I will confess that it has been for me quite a week. Sitting Thursday of this week with a father whose son died stillborn just a day before his due date. I will confess that it has been a couple of months for my family and I, flying to Minneapolis in September for the funeral of a dear friend and colleague, a Lutheran pastor in her 40s who died of heart complications and leaves behind a husband and three children. It has been quite a year for my extended family, having had two grandparents in their 90s laid to rest, one in February of this year and one in June. I share this not to compare sorrows with you, not to imply that the one who speaks from the pulpit feels things deeper than the ones who gather together this day. I share these, if for no other reason than for quite the opposite, because I suspect that I am not alone in having had quite a week, or quite a couple of months, or quite a year. I share it because is not this the territory in which we find ourselves this morning, looking for comfort, looking for hope, yearning for God to be present as we enter into these readings for this All Saints Sunday? It would seem that if All Saints Sunday is the blanket which covers our entire liturgy this morning, that words about tears, words about crying, words even about weeping are woven throughout our readings. In our first reading, the narrator of Revelation, who writes to a community which has experienced unimaginable loss. This narrator writes of a city where people are envisioned, imagined to live next door, just down the block from the very presence of God. I saw the holy city coming down out of heaven from God, says the narrator. And I heard a loud voice saying, look, the dwelling place of God is with humanity. God will dwell with them like a next door neighbor. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, no more. Crying, no more. Pain, no more. It's a hopeful vision, is it not? No tears, no death, no pain, no grief. And in the midst of challenging times, these may indeed be hopeful promises that give comfort, that give strength to us to get back on the bicycle of life. But I wonder if on this side of the grave we might see and understand and live out these promises only so dimly. Consider the young child who asks, as if from nowhere, "Why don't grown-ups cry?" This was one of my own children when he was 4. "It would be nice if it were true," I tell him. But grown-ups are no masters of their tears or emotions than 4-year-olds. Perhaps adults are just better at playing hide-and-seek with their God-given emotions. Perhaps adults have tended to buy into the myth that if only they mold their hearts into rocks or their emotions into islands, that all will be well. Do you buy into that same false bill of goods at times that Simon and Garfunkel of old sang about? "Don't talk of love, but I've heard the words before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock. I am an island." One of the church fathers, Tertullian was his name, in case you're keeping track or need to write that on the sermon notes. One of the church fathers had the audacity to claim quite the opposite, that tears, that human tears, were a sacrament. This fancy word that we reserve for tangible things like water, like bread, like wine, tangible things through which we taste and see and experience the very grace of God. Human tears as a sacrament. It would seem that this is the case in the gospel reading for today. The story, which picks up with Jesus showing up late for his friend's funeral, not just late, but 4 days late, which is significant, this number 4, in a culture in which you sat vigil with your family member or your friend for at least 3 days. This culture, which was pre-stethoscope, pre-heart monitors, you stayed with them for 3 days to make sure, make dead sure, that they were no longer living. So when Jesus arrives late for the funeral, they are dead sure that Lazarus is no longer with them. Death has done everything it can to Lazarus. And when Jesus arrives late for the funeral, Mary echoes the angry accusation that her sister Martha has made just a few verses earlier, with tears running down her face. "Lord, if you had been here. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. God, if you had been here." Has this been your prayer in the last week? In the last few months, in the last year? If it has been your prayer, know that you are not in bad company. In fact, you are in the company of those who are living out the gospel for today. If you had been here. And in this prayer, which Mary speaks directly to Jesus, she recalls to us this truth that we might not quite know how to teach a 4-year-old, but there it is. Mary doesn't soften her emotions. She doesn't guard them or mold them into an object which cannot feel pain. She doesn't soften them for the sake of Jesus. Mary is one who tells it like it is, real and honest. Mary doesn't settle for half truths or doodle around with theological concepts of the resurrection. "Jesus, if you had been here," she says. It is that truth, this truth that sometimes you must name God's absence in order to experience God's presence. Let us put it another way. Through tears, we see God. "Jesus, if you had been here," she says, And when Jesus sees her weeping, the gospel reading tells us that Jesus is greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. The King James Version says that Jesus groaned in the spirit. Jesus shows up, but not just physically. Jesus shows up emotionally. And Jesus begins to weep. John chapter 11, verse 35, the shortest verse in most versions of the Bible. Some translations have it just two words. Jesus wept. Just two words. Which might be the reason that this verse just so happens to be the most frequent choice by confirmation students to memorize as their favorite Bible verse. We laugh, but underneath this simple verse just maybe the entirety of the entire gospel, the whole of the good news of God in Christ Jesus distilled down to two words, but more so distilled down to the tears of one who comes to save us not from our tears, save us not from our suffering, not from our grief, not from our pain, but save us through our tears. Save us through our suffering, our pain, our grief. Notice, Jesus does not say, "Mary, those who have faith have no need of grief." Jesus doesn't say, "Those who believe have no need of tears." Jesus doesn't say, "Mary, don't you remember the Simon and Garfunkel song? A rock feels no pain and an island never cries. If you never loved, you never would have cried." No, with his own tears, Jesus shows us how to be human. And in this, he opens up the gospel to us this All Saints Sunday. If there is anything that is unique about this thing we call Christianity, if there is anything about this Jesus who we might follow as one who we might call the way or the truth or the life or the very resurrection, might it be this? God in Christ Jesus promising to weep with us, to be broken with us. And in this, the revelation, the promise that neither grief nor tears are foolish or weak, but in fact that they are the way to new life. That brokenness, that vulnerability is the path to experiencing God's very presence. So today, we thank God for the promise of a someday soon city where people are next door neighbors to God. Perhaps closer than we might think. We are grateful this All Saints Sunday for a God who is the kind of friend, we dare say the kind of Savior, who listens to questions, who receives pain, who understands fear and suffering, who is not just a rock to lean on or an island in a sea of pain, but this one who sees our tears and weeps with us to bring new life so that we too may be unbound from any power that death might have. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We remember those who have passed into the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. Mike Abercrombie, Joan Baker, Thomas Bennett, Lawrence Caruso, Dwayne Clarkson, Stephanie Erdman, David Ingen, Diane Estep, Morgan Fenwick, William Forney, Beverly Gagnon, George Jusset, Shelley Golden, Charles Green, Mike Guthrie, Dorothy Huchert, Pastor Vern Hunt, Joan Jewell, Leif Johnson, Ellen Ketchum, Bruce Kunze, Ron D. Mangor, Jason McNamee, Adeline Nordheim, Harold Olden, Colleen Paris, William Peterson, Mary Peterson, Michael Pinebrook, Marty Rose, Jock Schweiss, Judy Shellman, Tortoise Solheim, Nancy Teasdale, Arnold Timms, Tiffany Tynes, Geneva Van Horn, Muriel Vanderlaan, Philip Vanderlaan, J.D. Ward, Peter Bradley, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen.
You may be seated as we